been involved with polio New South Wales since 1988, and I helped set up Polio Australia in 2008. I'm not sure why I got into it. I first learned about the Lay to Fix Polio back in the 1980s. There was a seminar on, and so I went along to it. And they were asking for people who might be interested in starting up a support group. I was there with a friend, and she said, "Oh, come on, they need people to do it. Put your hand up." So I put my hand up, and I haven't stopped since. So it's been more than three decades now. Yes, I was born in February 1950, and in December that year I contracted polio. I was 10 months old. My sister also contracted polio at the same time. But we don't know whether I gave it to her or she gave it to me. But she was a bit older than me, so...
Now, you may be able to clarify this. It is contagious. Other people can catch it from you, but I wasn't clear about how that happens.
It's done through the fecal-oral route, which doesn't sound very nice. Basically, it's people might have gone to the toilet and not washed their hands properly afterwards, so you can easily contract it that way, and especially with kids, not as clean as maybe the adults would be.
So it's a sanitation issue?
Yes, it is.
And so introducing soap into public schools and making soap accessible to children, that was actually kind of a turning point for how society started to manage polio outbreaks. Not a lot dissimilar to how the process has been with COVID.
Absolutely, yes. Yes, I think COVID could learn a lot and did learn a lot from how the polio epidemics were handled.
From my understanding, the vaccine that was introduced during that time was a trial or a test vaccine like we've been using with COVID. Is that true?
Well, it had been developed in America over quite some time, and they'd done extensive testing on it in the early 50s. It didn't actually come to Australia until 1955. And we did actually have an Australian connection with the vaccine as well. The vaccine was developed by Jonas Salk in America, and we had Dr. Val Baisley from Australia, who's actually worked with Dr. Salk in his laboratory over there. And then he came back to Australia and set up the vaccine production at CSL in much the same way as we've got CSL was making the AstraZeneca vaccine for COVID. The epidemics of polio right across the country, and it found that in different areas there would be larger epidemics. They seemed to centre in one place. 1950 and 1951, there was another big epidemic. It tended to come along during summertime, and that's why they closed swimming pools and whatever, because obviously a lot of kids were going swimming at that time.
Can you draw some parallels between what was happening then and what is happening now?
Borders were closed. The border between New South Wales and Victoria was closed during the polio epidemics, very similar to what's been happening more recently with COVID. A lot of facilities and schools and whatever were all closed, just trying to contain it. But part of the problem was they didn't really appreciate how it was spread back in those days. And so they were very, very unsure about it. And there was a lot of stigma attached to actually contracting polio. Well, I've heard stories through my work with the polio organisations of people crossing the street and whatever and keeping away from other people. So a lot of, not misinformation, but a lot of misunderstanding about what was actually going on.
And yet polio, like COVID-19, you can contract it without having any symptoms and without getting sick.
Yes, you can contract polio without having any symptoms.
Here's an opportunity on World Polio Day to be able to create a little story that shows how the narrative hasn't changed that much. The narrative is really still the same, and how incredibly helpful it was to have a polio vaccine, and how many people's lives it saved, and how many people it kept out of hospital. These are, I guess, parallels that we can draw today with the COVID-19 vaccination and vaccine hesitancy. Do you, in fact, obviously you don't recall because you were just a baby, but as far as you're aware, in your role as president of the Polio Australia, was there vaccine hesitancy for polio?
No, there wasn't so much hesitancy. People were really keen to actually get the vaccine. They were hanging out for it, in much the same way as we were hanging out, I think, for the COVID-19 vaccine. And if you've seen pictures of the kids lining up at school, all in great long lines of them with their arms out ready to get the vaccine, there was no hesitancy at all. No conspiracy theories about what was going on. Everybody was just really keen to get vaccinated and to put the scourge of polio behind them. During Polio Awareness Month each year, we just like to remind people that we're still here, because once the polio vaccines came in, polio was considered to be a solved problem, and that we would just go on and get on with our lives. And in fact, we did do that for many, many years. But we are still here. We are now having more difficulties with the late effects of polio. And as we age, we're finding more difficulty with mobility, with breathing, if our breathing muscles were impacted originally. And a whole range of symptoms are coming along now as a result of having had polio when we were younger. And people out there who had polio may not necessarily link the fact that they're now having increased problems with the fact that they had polio as a child, especially if when they had polio as a child they weren't very badly affected, and so it can come as a bit of a surprise to them, which is why we're trying to reach out to people to tell them that yes, it can be the late effects, and yes, you may be experiencing them, but there is help available through the work that Polio Australia does.